in somewhat dramatic fashion. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. It kind of sounds like the beginning of an epic story, doesn't it? Like this one that started out long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Maybe they were borrowing from the Bible when they wrote Star Wars. But it tells us that God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. This reading paints a picture of the magnificence and mightiness of God that comes in Jesus Christ. Heavenly realms, creations, angels, glory, and honor, it's very majestic. And yet it ends by bringing us all back down to earth with Christ, who looks at us and calls us brothers and sisters. The gospel reading is very obviously set on earth. The Pharisees come to Jesus and ask him about divorce. This gospel passage has been the source of a lot of challenge and heartache for many people, including many in this room. As soon as I said that word, divorce, I bet it led your mind to the ways your life has been touched by divorce, whether it's a friend, a family member, or yourself. But to understand what's happening here, it's important to know a couple things. First off, the only other time divorce is mentioned in Mark's gospel is when John the Baptist points out to Herod's wife, Herodias, that she divorced and ditched her perfectly good husband so that she could marry the king. Well, this angered her so much that what happened, do you remember? His head ended up on a platter. Well, the Bible says that the Pharisees came to test Jesus. They're trying to bait him so that he says something that will get him in trouble so that they can get rid of this guy, John the Baptist style. Another clue into what's happening is in the way Jesus responds to their question. They say, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Kind of a vaguely put question, like when you might go to somebody and say, "Well, I'm asking for my friend." But Jesus responds directly to them, saying, "What did Moses command you?" Maybe Jesus senses that they're asking for themselves. Either way, Jesus reminds them that they are a part of God's law too. Divorce hurts all of us, but in Jesus' time, it especially hurt women. And while much has changed in the past 2,000 years, which we are grateful for, today, women and children are still more likely to be financially vulnerable from divorce than men. In the first century, the poor were orphans and were often orphans and women without husbands. So Jesus' prohibition against divorce could be seen as trying to stand up for those people to help them not be put out on the street. Although the Pharisees accepted that a man could write a certificate of dismissal and divorce his wife, making her vulnerable to a life of poverty, Jesus said no. What God has joined together, let no one separate. The rest of what Jesus says can be summed up as marriage is very serious, and we should do all we can to keep it going. If marriage is as life-changing as two people becoming one flesh, then it's pretty easy to understand the deep pain that can be felt when there is a separation of that flesh. Divorce shatters lives and dreams. It leads us deeper into the world's false narrative that everything bad that happens is our fault, or everything that happens is all their fault. It takes us over the edge of that cliff we all face in our lives. Am I lovable? Am I worthy of love? Of course, these things are lies, but that still doesn't mean that we don't believe them, because we all are worthy of love, and that is what God wants for us. Jesus is telling us that God's intent is for us to love and care for each other in our human relationships. We hear this message over and over again in the Bible. And if we seriously listen to Jesus, we hear him say this many times. He brings a message that's full of grace and forgiveness and truth. Because as we all know too well, God's intent is not always fully realized in this world. That is why we have grace. That is why Jesus came. The law always convicts us. When there is a law, there is a line, and we cross those lines every day. Sometimes we do it knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. Sometimes on a small scale, sometimes on a big scale. But the thing about the law is that it always drives us back to God. There's not one person in this room, in our congregation, or in our world who will go through their life without ever breaking one of God's laws or one of our laws. And that is what brings Jesus back to the children. We've heard that Jesus talk about the children a lot lately, if you've been in church the last few weeks. And at the same time, we've heard Jesus talk about the law lately. Last week we heard, don't put a stumbling block in front of one of these little ones. The week before, when Missionary Meg preached, we heard Jesus welcome the children directly to him and lift them up as an example of faith. And this year we hear about the children again. People were bringing children to them and asking him to bless them. And Jesus saw the disciples trying to shoo them away. You know, they're just not important. They're getting in the way. But Jesus lifted them up and said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. At Grace, we have been talking at worship planning team and youth and family ministry committee, at church council and with families in our congregation, about having children commune at the age their parents feel they are ready. Part of the reason we do this is because of these words of Jesus, that children are welcome at his feet, that they are examples of faith for all of us, and that we should receive Christ like a little child does. Sometimes I feel like we should listen to the kids more. Maybe they would do a better job of preaching. Maybe they'd do a better job of running our world than we do. In the group I am a part of at Marquette, where we're priests and pastors of all different denominations, I was meeting with a group of the priests one time. We were doing a little Bible study at one of our retreats, and we finished our Bible study, and all the priests, I was just me and the priests in my group, turned to me and they said, how do you do this with a family? They couldn't imagine how you could care for a congregation and have a family at the same time. And I said, how do you do it without one? Because so often my strength and my faith and my spirit is renewed through my kids. Just this past week, I was trying to explain to my daughter about Izzy Coppa's adoption, which Pastor Paul and I were really, really blessed to be present for on Friday, as she was adopted from foster care. And I wasn't really sure she was getting it or not, but, you know, I tried. And then that night when Anna was praying, she prayed for Izzy on her adoption. And that just really lifted my spirits to think, you know what? Kids get it a lot more than we do, and she knew that Izzy needed our prayers. Last week, I had a bad day, and we had church council. It was not related to church council, but I had a bad day, and I came out of church council, and Kenzie was here with her mom, Kelly Klug. Oh, there's Kenzie. Hi, Kenzie. And she was here while we had our council meeting, and she had written this on the board. God loves you. Awesome. Peace and love. God loves you with all his heart. And that was just what I needed to hear that night. That touched my spirit and my soul. And so thank you, Kenzie, for preaching the gospel to me and to all of us. God, the creator of this world, loves us in our brokenness. He sends children to show us his way and to show us his love. Jesus, our Savior, calls us sisters and brothers. And in our baptism, the Holy Spirit claims us as beloved children of God. Take a moment now to think about the love of God for you, that God cares for all of us in our vulnerability, from a child till we are an adult, with a love that's deeper and stronger than divorce or death. Think about that and remember that you are a child of God, and nothing you can do will change that. So let's all be God's kids this week. Amen.